At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Climate change. I observe that there is an argument going on around the world in all languages about what is to be done. I welcome Professor Tim Kaine. He's the chairman of the Economics, Politics, and History at the University of Austin in Austin, Texas. We begin with a conversation about Lancaster County, and I bring to the professor an example of questions about climate change. In Lancaster County, there are two large buildings, 800,000 square feet, that once held a famous publisher, R.R. Donnelly, and have been empty for years, not helping the county at all for taxes. Now they've been purchased by a company that's going to build data centers in these buildings, add 95 GE generators as backup, and get their energy from the Three Mile Island and from the Susquehanna River dams. They will also be heavily available to the water table of the region, because what data centers need is electricity and water to keep going. They are understandably promoting themselves as the future. I use that example because they're also sensitive to doubts about whether they're contributing to increasing the success of the United States to mitigate climate change. Professor, a very good evening to you. Because the questions come up with data centers, which are ordinarily understood as services, but not when they drain on resources such as electricity that requires generation and water that requires generation, then they become part of the environment and mankind can be identified as a driver of climate change. Can be. You have written a book with Glenn Hubbard, as I understand, in this century, where you identify how the Romans changed the environment, changed the climate perhaps, as they became smelters using especially lead-based instruments and lead-based products. What does that tell us about climate change and human drivers for climate change? Good evening to you.
John, it's so good to visit again. I am reporting here from the University of Austin. For those who don't know, UATX is a little different than UT. UATX is a small new college. We do acceptances purely on intelligence. We use the SAT score almost exclusively and have gotten some really brilliant kids because we focus on real meritocracy. Now, this book, we noticed that some people are deniers. They deny that the Romans ever fell or that anything ever bad happened, that there was a Dark Ages. Well, you can see in the record in glaciers of the lead pollutants in the atmosphere that fell all around the world peaked in the first century AD and then declined. And there was certainly a Dark Ages. 900 AD was the lowest point when finally industry started to pick up. Now, we've learned to control those pollutants, but we've got new pollutants in our era. So the question I had that I wrote about in my blog is, you know, is climate change happening? That's the first question. And the second is it an existential threat?
The observation I make about the data centers is that the men and women putting together the business, that the infrastructure, are aware that that question is going to be asked, are aware that drawing on the electric grid and drawing on the water table, that question deserves an answer. Your Substack page points to the chart you've done to ask people, where are you on this chart? Please describe it, Professor.
So the first question is, do you believe that climate change is caused by human activity? Is it real? You can say yes or no, and it puts you in one of the two quadrants. The other question, you might think of it as the horizontal axis, is Do you think it's an existential threat? Yes or no? Well, the people that think it's real and an existential threat are what I call alarmists. The people that think that it's not real and it's not an existential threat are the deniers. That probably describes a good third of the American people. But then there are those of us like Bjorn Lomborg, my colleague John Cochran, both are colleagues at the Hoover Institution at Stanford. I believe climate change is real. I believe it's caused by humans, and I don't think it's an existential threat. It's not like an asteroid, as Bjorn says, hurtling toward the Earth. It's more like diabetes. It's a condition that you want to monitor. And in fact, it's not even as bad as diabetes. We can ultimately control this and clean our act up.
Mr. Cochran addresses the matter of climate change in terms of the GDP. Where does it show up as a cost? Where does it show up as making the end result less than it would be? And I believe if I read correctly, it doesn't much show up. Is that correct, Tim?
That's right. I mean, this is so you have the alarmists on the one quadrant and you have the deniers in the other quadrant. John and I are what I would call the rationalists. We believe let's take a rational, careful look at the harms and even the most extreme cases that are laid out in the technical details of these UN reports and scientific reports say that, you know, the price will be a reduction of human GDP growth over 100 years of about 5%. Now, that's not 5%. That's saying we assume the economy is going to go up by about 200% in a century, and it'll be 5% lower because of the cost of climate change. That's just not a lot, John.
Let's go to those data centers, because they are a vision of the future that we imagine at this point. Without those data centers, there's no participation in what we anticipate to be a growth spurt, not unlike what happened when they went from horse-drawn to steam-drawn. We anticipate that. That's all we can know at this point. Would it be a success to rule out those data centers or to limit their use or to say, you can't have this electricity, you can't have this water? Would that describe a future that is a remedy or a harm?
Well, I think the people that ask that question assume that the answer can be, a government diktat. Instead, what's really been answering these questions for centuries positively is put a price on it and let people sort out what prices they want to pay. So the price of not having energy means we wouldn't have air conditioning, right? The price of not having industry is we wouldn't have bigger homes, nicer cars. We certainly wouldn't have computers. But now we live in the computer age, and so what's the price of electricity going to be? Would we pay more for it? Absolutely. That's the answer. The notion that the government should come in and block a data center. And some places do this, John. They're basically just saying, we don't want the future here. Go build it somewhere else.
Does it help the environment when they block something? Can we see that?
No. I mean, the 1992 Kyoto, that wasn't Kyoto, sorry. That was the first time they had a big global conference about let's stop the pollutants, the climate change and greenhouse gases. But they only wanted to put the limits on Western countries. No limits on China or India. Well, China and India are never going to agree to these limits. They want to grow. They want their people to be just as wealthy and well off as folks in the West are. So let's not give up the future to our foreign competitors.
Professor Tim Kaine, he's the chairman of economics, politics, and history at the University of Austin in Austin, Texas. And his Substack page is Professor Tim Kaine at Substack. You can look to the chart yourself and decide where you are. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.